Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Okay, so let's say that you're the Colts and you're trying to figure out a way to win some games, get some depth in your quarterback room. How far is Nashville from Indianapolis? Knock on the door, make sure Jay doesn't have a shotgun. And you go, hey, Jay, you're an Indiana football legend. How would you like to play some football? How much? How much does it take to get Jay on the phone? And it would work out great for Jay because Jay doesn't have to go to training camp. Jay could just show up in week one and be like, what's the game plan? Fine, I'm going to sling it 50 times. Let's go.
Bring back Jay.
Bring back Jay. Bring back Jay. Bring back Jay.
Woo!
Bring back Jay. Bring back Jay.
All right. Yeah, not here. Let's be very...
Yeah, no. We're good, fam. We're good here, fam.
Let's be real specific about that. Not to the Bears.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
We had a fun time yesterday joking around about Jay Cutler to the Colts.
Who's joking?
I mean, we're not. I think it actually, the more I talk about it, the more I convince myself that it makes sense to do. Got Chad Kelly in your quarterback room. Sign Jay Cutler, you know. He'll win you a game. That might be the difference between you making and not making the playoffs. Welcome in. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Man, we got some top-notch guests on the show for you today. Chris Ronji is going to join me around 12:25 today because the Cardinals are real hot, and we need to talk about why they're doing what they're doing. Our buddy Jason Leisure, who's kind of become a fixture on the show, which I like, he covers the Bears for the Sun-Times. He will join me at 1. He's done a couple of cool pieces on the rest of the NFC North, which, by the way, I had not read the Sports Illustrated preview. And I was like, oh, okay, let's see. I'm flipping the pages, and I see a 4 next to the Bears. I'm like, oh, 4th in the NFC. Okay, got it. And I was like, oh, no, they mean last in the NFC North. I was like, I was genuinely shocked. When I saw it, I genuinely was like, oh, really? 7-9?
I guess I know how they feel about Mitch.
Yeah.
You clutched your pearls there, Lawrence?
I did clutch the pearls when I was just sitting there eating my breakfast today, and I had to clutch the pearls. 7-9? I mean, I've been talking about regression, but you regress 5 wins?
They're using Pacoda.
Well, maybe they got a point then. Maybe they got a point. No. But we start the show as we start all things with the rundown.
Just faxing. My dad, a rundown.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Wednesday, August 28th. Chicago Sky and Courtney Vandersloot, who's at, if you're not paying attention to the Sky, our good friend Maggie Hendricks does a great job of covering the Sky. You should be following her. Courtney Vandersloot's having an unbelievable season, and she breaks the WNBA single season assist record last night with 258 in a loss to the Lynx, but the Sky is still going to the playoffs, so that's good. Now on to the Bears. Matt Nagy says Eddie Pinheiro is going to have a challenge this week.
He's going to have however many Bears fans that are there watching them and knowing you have that. It is outdoors. It's not inside like it was in Indianapolis. But again, every day, every kick that he gets, we're all going to be evaluating him and trying to. But I think, you know, from last weekend, what he just did, it's definitely looking good for us. And I hope it stays that way.
I hope it stays that way, too. Or maybe they'll sign Carly Lloyd. Who knows what the Bears will do. But their final preseason game, thank baby Jesus, is tomorrow. So we can all get on with our lives.
Preseason football.
No one loves preseason football. It's honestly the worst. On to regular season baseball. Lucas Giolito, man, so fun to watch. I got more that I want to say about this later on in the show. But yesterday, Lucas Giolito picks up his 200th strikeout of the season.
Another fastball called strike three outside corner. 200th strikeout for Lucas Giolito this season. His first career 200 strikeout season, and we certainly hope not the last.
Pretty incredible all season long from Giolito. On the negative side, he did give up two home runs in the game. The White Sox got one run, and they got it this way.
Tim looking for that first hit of the ball game, deep right center field. Out of here! First hit, first run, 2-1.
The White Sox will lose 3-1. Giolito, pretty good, though. 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned, 9 strikeouts for him, and gets over the 200 strikeout mark. Here's what Ricky Renteria had to say about his ace.
He truly transformed himself. I think shows you that anything is possible when you put your mind to it and you understand what's going on, what you're trying to do. You take advantage of the information and the season that he had last year to, you know, make an adjustment, accept, you know, the outcomes that occurred last year, knowing, man, I've got to get better. There's got to be something that I can do to put myself in a better place. And he did. And he's doing it every time he goes out there. So, you can't expect him to have every single outing, you know, to be good. But he certainly has been pretty good.
I think now we're leaning to a point where just about we should expect that just about every start from Giolito is going to be quality, because that's what he's been given all season. And it's great to see. In the National League Central, bad news if you're a Brewers fan. Great news if you're a Cardinals fan. Yachty hit two bombs yesterday.
Molina with a fly ball. Out to left center. Kane is back. At the wall. We're tied. Yachty. Second consecutive night with a home run. This one number 6. And we're tied 1-1. Down the left field line. Will it stay fair?
Get there.
It is. It's gone. It's gone. Off the foul pole. He went down to get it. And his second home run that he's hit tonight. How in the world did he hit that and keep it fair? And the Cardinals go on top.
And Michaelis had 10 strikeouts in the game. That's a career high for him. The Cardinals win 6-3. They are 3 games up on the Cubs. They are 6.5 games up on Milwaukee. Speaking of the Cubs, yesterday, really good approaches at the plate, and they had to battle back because that Pete Alonso dude is really difficult to get out.
And drives one in the air, deep right center, back to the wall. This is going to leave the park. Home run number 42 for Pete Alonso.
He's going to win Rookie of the Year, and I think that he should get votes for MVP.
That dude is strong.
He's real strong, and you make a mistake, he's going to make you pay for it. But the Cubs did a lot of great stuff at the plate, man. I'm telling you. It was so good, I did a whole LoHo Daily on it last night, like after the game. So if you're not getting enough Cubs stuff from the show, know that my podcast for today is everything about last night's game. But I will tell you this. Their approach was middle away. And you saw that it paid dividends. You had guys that were looking to drive the ball the opposite way and then hitting taters to the middle of the field.
Hits one to deep center field. Going back is Conforto. Back, back, back. He's at the wall. Leaps up. It's gone. Addison Russell hits a 2-run shot. Cubs take the lead. 2-1 here in the fifth.
So he got the Cubs the lead. Javi Baez had a tremendous game yesterday. Went 3-for-3, 2 doubles. He did struggle a little bit on the bases, but he found that stick after a day off.
And the pitch on the way. Baez drives one in the air, deep right field. Back goes McNeil near the wall. That ball is going to be gone. Opposite field, home run, Javier Baez. Cubs lead by a score of 4-1. Baez lines one down the left field line. That's going to be a base hit. A run is going to score. The ball goes all the way into the corner. And Baez has his third extra base hit of this ballgame. A run-scoring double. Cubs lead 5-1.
Home run number 29 for Javier Baez, who admits that things have not been great for a little bit for him.
You know, I've been struggling since the outside break and, you know, trying to get back, trying to do my routine again. And, you know, today it paid off, but, you know, I feel great.
Yu Darvish was outstanding last night in Queens. 8 innings, 7 strikeouts, only 1 earned run. Bullpen gets pretty much an extra day of rest as well. And the Cubs win 5-2 over the Mets. It's a good win. You needed to keep pace. You needed to push back the Mets, who are now 3 games back in the wild card division, the division that the Cubs are now also in with Philadelphia and Washington and the Mets. So the Cubs are 3 games behind Washington, 3 games behind the Cardinals. That's where things stand. But they're holding on to the last wild card spot right now, 2 games up on Philly and 3 games up on New York. We need to talk about the National League Central, and we're going to do that. We're going to talk about why are the Cardinals like really taken off. If you look back to July 1st, I think you had a 41-41 team that you were looking at back then. And now look at them, 73-58. Chris Ronji is the man in St. Louis. He's got the top rated show, and he's nice enough that he's going to be on this show next here on The Score.
Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
And now your host, Chris Ronji.
It is not Chris Ronji. Chris Ronji is on other duties right now.
I truly respect the fact that Chris Ronji, with all of his success that he has amassed down in St. Louis, still makes time for our stupid little radio station up here. This guy on 101 ESPN in St. Louis is number one. Number one.
Yeah, number one, baby. Let's go.
Number one. The numbers that they're doing down there are amazing. And yet, he is still nice enough to visit our dumb radio station. He joins me now on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. You can find 500 new and used vehicles for you at Al Pamani Ford. He is the Ranger himself, Chris Ronji. Hello, Ranger.
Lawrence, I'm always going to make time to be on the station so that I can hear the moment I was late to work that one time.
That one time?
Yeah, and then Farmio didn't know, so he's like, he's on another duties. Yeah, I was late.
Well, I mean, you were. You were on duties in the parking lot. That's what the duty that you were on that day.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It seems
like
you know
what happened that day?
No, please, but share.
Okay, so the stupid Minnesota Twins play 11 a.m. games for some reason, and it was like a Wednesday, and I woke up, I want to say like 7:15, 7:30, and I woke up and I thought, yeah, I got some time. I'm gonna lay down for like another hour. And so the next time I wake up, pregame show is at 10:30, by the way. The next time I woke up was 10:26, and I was freaking out. And I had to call Mitch and tell him, dude, I slept in. I don't know what happened. So that's what that was. But I got there for the middle of the pregame. I just missed the first part, and Farmio had no idea what was happening.
That's messed up, man.
Yeah, I know, man.
What were you doing? What were you doing the night before?
Nothing. Literally nothing. I didn't do any. Well, there was probably a game, so I think I did that.
But I'm saying, like, was there some sort of extracurricular activity?
No.
There?
No. It was like a Wednesday.
You do know how alarms work, right?
Yep. I don't know what happened.
All right, well, we won't dwell on that because that was years and years and years ago. And meanwhile,
and now I don't feel bad about it anymore.
You shouldn't. And you're number one. Number one. With a
bullet.
Well,
I mean, you know, it's fine.
Okay. All right. Chris Ronji on being the best. Quote, it's fine.
Yeah.
Close quote.
Yeah.
Well, what's up with your Cardinals, man? These guys are, they're on a tear right now.
Well, they're not my Cardinals, but I'm on that team. Here's the thing. I don't really know why they're this good. I don't. I don't know why they're playing this well. So the way they've played over about the last 3 weeks, I'm not exactly sure that's really them. I think they just happen to have gotten really hot at the right time. And if you dissect every aspect of the team, there is not much that's going wrong for them. Like, they are doing everything right. They're playing defense well. They're obviously hitting. I think it's only in the last 11 games they've played, there have been only three times where they've scored fewer than six runs. So, I mean, they are hitting like crazy. Their bullpen is really good. That's the one thing I'm pretty confident is really good, is their bullpen. And that's all I know to be good. Everything else, I don't know if this is just a stretch of a couple of weeks or if this is really who they are. But for whatever reason, everything for them is coming together at one time. I still don't think they're this good of a team. I do think they wouldn't be in this position if it weren't for the rest of the National League being so lousy, in particular the Central. But you can only play who you have on the schedule. And right now they're taking care of business against teams they need to beat, and they're in a good position right now.
I found myself to be a little skeptical, too, of them. But, I mean, now you're talking about a team that has been 33-17 since July 1st. So you go back, right. They were 41-41, and now they're 73-58. So I'm starting – I feel like the sample is big enough that you can go, this is definitely a big part of who they are, if not completely who they are.
Well, I think it is in the context of the league. And I know that if you – you could say, well, that's a silly argument to make because that's the league they play in. So, you know, they're not in the American League or they are not in the National League West. So that doesn't really matter. But I think it's a little bit of a gauge of how they stack up against the Dodgers. I don't think they're anywhere close to being as good as LA is. I don't think they're as good as Atlanta. I think the Nationals are better. But the Cardinals happen to play in a really weak division. And the weird thing about the division, and I'm sure you guys talked about it too, going into the season, we all thought it was going to be tight, but we all thought it was going to be tight and good. But it turned out it was just tight. It's not really a good division. The teams in it are not especially good compared to all the other divisions. But it doesn't matter, I guess. All you have to do is win your division and you get into the playoffs. But I think they're a good team. I just don't think they're as good as they're playing right now. But you know what? That may not matter for them. It may be all they need to get into the postseason, and then you see what happens from there. Now, I have concerns about the rotation they will have at the end of September. I mean, we're still a month away from the end of this regular season. I don't know where Dakota Hudson is going to be, how good he's going to be. I don't know how much longer Adam Wainwright's going to hold up. I don't really know about Miles Michaelis, although he pitched well last night. The only guy I'm pretty confident in is Jack Flaherty. He's truly dominant, and I think that's real. I think what you're seeing from him is definitely real, but from all the other guys, I don't really know if what we're seeing from them lately is who they really are.
And their bullpen has been better too, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing that surprised me about their success here in the second half.
That's the thing. That bullpen is legitimately good. As I mentioned a moment ago, if there's one part of the team that I feel confident in, that I know what they are, aside from the defense, I mean, you know, if a team is playing well defensively, I think that's pretty true. Same thing goes for the bullpen. This bullpen, I do think it's because it's not unusual to have they've got Carlos Martinez closing out games, which is odd. I still think he should be in the rotation. I still don't understand exactly why he doesn't feel like he can start games. I don't know what's going on there. But as a closer, he makes it interesting, but he's still getting it done. Everybody else in the bullpen has been good. John Gant has been good. Giovanni Gallegos has come out of nowhere. But you know what? That's not unusual. Sometimes really good relievers emerge out of nowhere. And that happens all the time in baseball. So what they're doing right now, I think, as far as the relievers go, I think that's right. I really do truly think statistically, they're one of the best bullpens in baseball. I think that's accurate when you look at them. Like, I don't think that's smoke and mirrors. I think it really is a good bullpen. But everything else, to me, I'm not exactly sure how they're going to look when the end of September comes around.
talking about the National League Central, the Cubs and the Cardinals with Chris Ronji, who is a host at 101 ESPN in St. Louis. What's it like in St. Louis when the Cardinals are good or have a good record?
Well, this is kind of a weird year because they've missed the playoffs the last 3 years in a row, and because of what they've been used to down here, it's not really acceptable. So I would say through the first 4 months of this season, there's just been a, you know, people will still go to games, but there's this overall feeling of, you know, you guys kind of suck. I mean, you're in contention, but we don't really truly believe you're all that good. And that's widespread. You ask most fans, that's kind of how they feel. Like they're skeptical of what's going on. Now they're in a better position than they were. So if you go to the trade deadline and you look at that date when they missed out on making any sort of acquisition to make the team better, I'd say 95% of people were pretty upset about that. Like they thought this team should have done something to get better because everybody else in contention did something to get better, except for the Dodgers and Yankees. But those teams were 30 games over 500. So what more did they really, truly need to do? So you had that disappointment, but for some reason they have played really well since then. I think people are excited about it, but I still think there's a little bit of cautious optimism. I still think they're kind of keeping them at a distance. Like they're really excited about the wins, and the fact they've played so well in the last 3 weeks is awesome, but there's still kind of there's a skepticism. I think it's a healthy skepticism looking at them because you know, based on the way everything else has gone all season long, that could change in 2 weeks. Things have flipped in the National League, with the exception of the Dodgers and Braves. Things have flipped a lot throughout the season. I think people know that can happen again.
There's part of me, though, that feels like the Cardinals have eliminated the Brewers. And I know that there are people within the sound of my voice in Milwaukee that are like, but I feel like the Brewers have done about as much as they can do with some of the deficiencies that they have on their roster. And now it comes down to Cubs and Cardinals for this division, which is really interesting considering the way that the end of September shapes up, where even if the Cardinals feel like they have a good bit of distance between themselves and the Cubs, that those seven games at the end of the season will mean a lot as far as right. That goes. They could end it very quickly with a series win, or maybe the Cubs find themselves in it. Would love to know your opinion on this Cubs team and watching them out your rearview mirror from St. Louis.
Well, first of all, let me say about the Brewers, I do think they're cooked. I mean, maybe they squeak in as a wild card, but I don't think they're better than the Phillies or Mets, quite frankly, and they're certainly not better than the Cubs. I do think the two teams from the division at this point, I think the two teams from the division that would get in would be the Cubs and Cardinals. Milwaukee's bullpen is a mess, and it's a mess because they don't have any help in the rotation. They have pitched more innings than anybody else in the National League out of their bullpen. That can't hold up all year. And clearly, you see the bullpen work they get, it's a mess. So I don't think they're going anywhere. Before the season started, I thought they'd be really good. As far as the Cubs go, I think it's all pretty surprising to us how much trouble they've had, whether it's at times had their offensive issues or at times in the bullpen, and how many leads have they had that they've coughed up, something like 14 leads late in the game. It's a lot. That's crazy that's happened, and it's probably the only reason they are where they are and not five or six games up in the division right now is because of that pen. So it's surprising to all of us. I think we all kind of figured it was the Cubs' division to lose. Forget about what happened last year. I still think the Cubs were the best team in the division. And here's the thing. The way I look at them, this is how you know the team is good. And this is just from an outside perspective. And yes, they're terribly flawed. We know they have issues. But the reason you know a team is good when they are struggling so badly in a particular area, but they're still like right near the top of the division anyway. You know, like they got their major, maybe it's a fatal flaw, but they still are right there. Like they're only three games back right now, and they were in first place a lot of the year. So I think that's how you know a team is good. I still, and I believe people down here still kind of feel the same way, that eventually they're going to figure it out and it's going to start to click for them. But I think we are all in agreement as well that those final games you were talking about earlier are going to matter. There's no way this is completely settled by the time we play. Well, first that six-game series up there, which, by the way, we're going to be up there for, so hope to see at Greystone. And also, we're going to be at the then there's the final series, which is going to be here. And both of those series, I'm pretty sure, are going to matter.
Well, I'm looking forward to going into a bar with you where your picture is on the wall in the bar.
Yeah, you're welcome.
By the way, those tacos that they have there,
they're good.
Yeah, the buffalo chicken and mac and cheese tacos.
That one I haven't had.
It's
the rest of them
really good.
Yeah, it's awesome. But we're gonna be there on that Friday, the Friday of the Wrigley series. Cardinals Cubs will be right up there.
All right, well then I guarantee you that I'll be doing my show from down the street, because I'll probably be at Gallagher Way. That would be my guess. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I'm probably going to do my show from Gallagher Way or from Smoke Daddy. I'll just walk over and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, and then you can visit with us, unless you're going to the game.
Nah, I don't know if I'll do that.
Well, then you can jump on the show with us. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, that works out fine. So if I can't say you're Cardinals, can I say you're White Sox?
You can say whatever you want.
Are you happy?
Hey, how about that? How about that Luis Robert, man? That dude's what the hell?
He's really, really good at baseball.
It's unbelievable.
And he's probably not going to be here in September.
Well, probably not. I love trolling people down here because the car, and I was telling people at the time when he was the free agent, I was telling people, you got to sign this dude, sign him, get this guy in. I don't care how much it costs. And they were like, oh, that's a large commitment. But no, well, now you're seeing what happened. Now you're seeing.
Is that your St. Louis sports talk caller voice right there? That's pretty great.
No, that was I believe that was the front office voice. That was
Yeah. We're scared.
That's a huge commitment. Well, I'll tell you what. I'd pay $52 million for that guy.
Oh my God. Yeah,
he's going to be good.
He's going to be really good. How fun is it to watch Lucas Giolito right now?
Yeah, man. Good for him. Good for Grandpa Ross's nephew or whatever. Wait, what? How is he related to him?
I don't know. And then something with Seinfeld, too. Like,
that's it. That's I'm talking about Grandpa Ross. Or the George Costanza's father-in-law.
Is it his uncle was on Seinfeld or something like that?
That was it. That he played George Costanza's father-in-law on Seinfeld.
You think that's helped him pitch, or?
Probably. It has to at some point, you know, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that it does feel that way, that it helps him pitch.
I'm glad he's dominating. That's really good. I wish for the White Sox sake and for White Sox fans, they would have been able to make the Machado thing happen. I really think that would have made that would have helped exacerbate everything for them. That's a bummer. It's also a bummer that Fernando Tatis thing happened. Can you imagine how, and I know you've already played this game in your mind multiple times, imagine how good that team would be.
Yeah,
imagine if they had made the James Shields trade.
Imagine if they had their own version of Javier Baez. Yes, correct.
I mean, I'm sure you've gone over that.
I literally think about it every day. I'm not kidding you. I think about the James Shield for Fernando Tatis trade every freaking day. Every day. I think about it, and I look at that young team right now, and I go, you know what would be great? Tim Anderson at second base with Fernando Tatis Jr. playing shortstop. I think about it every single day. Thanks a lot for triggering me, sir. I appreciate that.
Hey, Lawrence, you got it, buddy.
I love you, man.
Love you, too.
That's Chris Ronji. He's doing great work down in St. Louis. I know I'm not alone. I know I am not the only White Sox fan that before he got hurt was watching Fernando Tatis highlights going, every single day. actually do want to talk about the White Sox and Lucas Giolito. Something about the difference in him this year versus last year. Something I picked up on that I wanted to discuss a little bit with a little help from Steve Stone. We'll do that next here on The Score.
Another fastball called strike three outside corner. 200th strikeout for Lucas Giolito this season. His first career 200 strikeout season, and we certainly hope not the last.
Lucas Giolito with his 200th strikeout of the season. That's great. He'll go over 200 innings, too. That's what you're looking for, 200. He's been tremendous this year for the White Sox. Another good start for him, a quality start for sure. Another good start for him. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. My buddy Jason Leisure, who covers the Bears for the Sun-Times, is going to be here at 1. We are going to talk about the Bears and maybe other stuff. Bears? Question mark. Although, Jason's written a couple of really interesting pieces in the Sun-Times about the Bears that we should probably discuss. Speaking of which, Windy City Gridiron, my man Jack Silverstein, wrote a piece about the Bears throwback jerseys.
Makes you look at them different, huh?
Man, it is, it is very much in-depth and a worthwhile read about the era from which those jerseys came from and what was happening in the league. So shout out to Jack. He's an amazing writer and researcher. You know, I think he's Chicago's greatest sports historian, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, to Lucas Giolito. Steve Stone was on The Score this morning, which is always great. Anytime that we can get Stoney on our airwaves talking baseball is fantastic. Specifically talking about the White Sox is even better. Being that that's the team that he sees day in and day out. He's inside that clubhouse. He's talking to people, and he's the best analyst in the game. He was on with Mully and Haw this morning, and he was talking about the real ways that Lucas Giolito worked on himself to become the pitcher that he's become this season.
Well, there's a twofold attack that he decided to go on because he really wasn't happy with last year. I don't know how you could be. This was a former number one draft pick that was one of the most acclaimed pitchers coming out of high school. And Washington took a gamble on him, knowing he was going to have arm surgery. Mike Rizzo decided he would draft the number one with the Nationals. He came in, had the arm surgery. Things didn't go quite as well as he would like, but he made the major leagues with the Nationals. Then last year, he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball. Hands down, control wasn't there. He had a non-repeatable motion. He did a lot of things wrong. And he went over the wintertime and he took stock of exactly what happened last year, realized that he wasn't happy with it, and realized he had to have a complete makeover.
A complete makeover for him, and he went and did all sorts of technical stuff, did a lot of imaging, and he and Steve Stone are kindred spirits in that regard. Here's something that I was in watching the game last night, and I watched it again this morning, that I've picked up on, and I didn't even check to see if it's true. I just is something that, and watching Giolito, I feel is different in him. Yesterday, he gives up some runs or a couple runs early on in the game. And last year, that would have set forth a disaster for Lucas Giolito. That would have been, he's falling apart because he gave up a home run, or he had an inning where he threw 22 pitches, or whatever it was. That's not who he is anymore as a starter. Now, the level of confidence that you feel when Lucas Giolito is on the mound, he's basically always going to put them in a position to win games. Outside of the start against the Cubs over at Wrigley, that was real bad. He's going to put you in a position to win a game. And he did that last night. He gave them an opportunity to try and fight back offensively, and they just couldn't, because obviously we know they're still a team that's building. But as the White Sox crossed that 60-win threshold, which it took them until September 23rd of last year to get to that point, to 60 wins, it's been so fun watching Giolito, watching that guy be appointment television, watching how he seems like in such a better mental space right now. And he seems like he has really embraced being a White Sox. I saw a feature on WhiteSox.com. You know how, like, sometimes you just look at highlights and stuff and you're like, oh, well, what's that story right there? I saw a feature on WhiteSox.com where the White Sox asked his mom to paint some murals for them. And I think she did five of them. And they're amazing. But like, wanting to have your family be a part of your baseball family as much as Lucas is he married, right? His wife has stepped in some situations defending other people. He seems like he's happy. He seems like he's at home. And I don't mean to speak for him because I haven't asked him that question. But it just, when you're watching Giolito, it feels like you're watching a guy that has put down some roots and feels comfortable in his own skin. And I, for one, am here for it. I'm here for watching him continue to develop. And what's really cool is on the other side of that, where you had Reynaldo Lopez early on in the season looking completely lost on the mound. Completely lost. And if you look at what he's done over his last 15 or so starts, he's been pretty good. Second half ERA has been really good. He looks like he's got command of the strike zone. Because with Lopez, the stuff looks like, it's like, wow. You're like, oh, he's got some things. And it just seemed like early on in the year, it's like, I don't know. But he took a beating over there on the south side and has come out the other side of it and become a better pitcher. It is a major reason for optimism going into 2020 if the rest of the rotation is healthy. If you're going to get a healthy Kopech back, and if at some point Rodon is going to, even Ivan Nova as your fifth starter, okay. Because what the White Sox were missing for a big part of the first half was representative starting pitching. You saw the games. You saw how well the offensive players have come on. Tim Anderson might win the batting title this year. He's got a .350 on base without walking. I think he's got 10 walks on the season. Moncada looks legit, and if he could just stay on the field, that would be great. Aloy still has a lot of work to do, but you can see the reasons why people are excited about him. Had they just had representative starting pitching, they could have stayed in this thing for a lot longer than they did. And even still, the first half of the season was a lot of fun. This segment is being brought to you by Grand Appliance and Television. And the bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald and the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. When we come back, I am going to talk Bears, I think.
Probably not.
No, you know what? No, I probably am, because Jason's written a couple of Bears pieces and NFC North pieces that I want to pick his brain on.
We'll see.
And are they unveiling the statue today? Because when I drove in, there are a lot of people over at Soldier Field. Like, they're just out there. So maybe they're unveiling the statue today. We'll get some clarity when Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times joins me, and that's next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.